Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our midst as we desire, Lord, to fellowship with you within the veil. We do not take this privilege for granted, but Father, I strip myself of every confidence I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability to teach, Lord, or to preach your word. Father, I talk under the covering of my self spiritual fathers, that, Lord, the same grace and mercy upon their lives will rest upon me mightily today to help me to teach, to preach as an oracle of God. I grant him mercy to be faithful, Lord God, Lord, as a steward, Lord, to bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I also ask that, Lord, as the word goes forth, it will go forth in power, it will go forth in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to break every yoke in our lives, to set men free, to bring about healings, deliverances in our hearts, in particular to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to their children, to prepare people, Lord, ready for your coming in the name of Jesus Christ. My Father, I also ask for mercy and grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. And as I go into your word, Almighty, you also help me to redeem the time, help me to be faithful as I go into your word today. Thank you, Father, for all you will do in our midst today. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for creating the presence of God in our midst. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's go into the word. Well, early hours of this morning, God began to speak to me from the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. And the title of my message is, Behold, the Bridegroom Cometh. Let's say it together, Behold, the Bridegroom Cometh. Is he on the board? Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. Help me, Lord. Let's do it together. And at midnight, there was a cry made. What was the cry? Behold, the bridegroom what? Cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That is going to be very important. Everybody in the body of Christ know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. But we are all waiting in the temple for him to come in. But the watchman said, go what? Go out to what? Meet him. Let's read that scripture once again. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Midnight is the time that people usually sleep. Fast asleep. The change between one day and another day. So at this time, as you can see in the body of Christ, everyone is fast asleep. I don't want to go to the verses before. I was talking about the what? The 10 virgins. Say so 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. What we are talking about is they all slept. And the cry came. And said, Behold, the bridegroom what? Cometh. Go ye out to what? To meet him. So God is going to be telling us that we should leave where we are to where he is to go and meet him. Praise the Lord. So who is the bridegroom? Let's put some scriptures behind it so we don't assume that we know. Some people may not know. The bridegroom speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 verse 29. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 verse 29. We read, when John the Baptist was giving a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that he that had the bride, is the what? The bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So we know the voice here is the voice of John the Baptist. So this is my job. My job, therefore, is fulfilled. Next verse. Then he says something very important. I just mentioned it briefly. He says, He must what? And but I must what? Decrease. So when he began to cry that his bridegroom is coming, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says something about his own ministry. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. But we see a situation in the church body of Christ today about the friends of the bridegroom. They have refused to decrease. And as I was preparing, God took my mind back to the man called Samson. When he married the wife. Then he came back to pick his wife. Open to, I think it's in Judges. Help me, Holy Spirit. Judges chapter 14, verse 20. Using types and shadows. It's like Pastor taught us. All these stories you see in the Bible, you know, they're not just stories. They are types and shadows. That's how Jesus Christ discovered his purpose. And so you too, as you read your Bible, God begins to speak to you through these stories. You know, as you pray in the Spirit, begins to decode them. So you don't see the aspect of Samuel, you know, misbehaving. You see the aspect of Samuel that concerns you. Because Samuel was actually a type of Lord Jesus Christ because it was a Nazarene. But Samson's wife was given to what? The companions, the friends, whom he had used as his friend. So what is happening, brother of Christ? You discover that the friends of the bridegroom, talking about a particular of the fivefold ministry, they have taken the bride of Christ for themselves.
That is what we see today. All over the place. They fleece the sheep. They extort them for money. So when Samson came back and he saw the situation, what did he do? In the same book of Judges, chapter 15, verse 4, he did something that he had never done before. Are we there? So, and Samson went, and caught what? 300 foxes, and took what? Firebrands, and turned them tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And you know what he did? He set them into the field of Philistines. When I was sitting down there, God spoke to me. He said something. Open to, I just touch it and go. You see, we have come to a day that for us parents, God is not going to take permission to lay hold on your children. You see, Samson did not ask for anybody's permission when he was coming back to get his wife. He just caught them, turned them tail to it, which is what we call firebrand. Three speaks in the Bible of, you know, 30 times fullness of the commandment, you know, maturity, 30. Are you following me? So he caught them and sent them into where? The fields of the Philistines. We're not talking about Philistines today. But this is what the master is about to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 in Amplified. He was talking to the youth. You see, this generation, this end time move, as we've been told, is going to be led by young men. Many of them don't even know. They come to chop and they sleep. When I got born again, God didn't tell my parents. I already gone far in the world. It just lay hold. I just said myself, if I don't get born again now, that will be the end. So I just went back home and said, I'm born again. But they didn't understand. From that moment on, my life changed. I took decisions that were contrary to what I was trained to do. What does it say? Remember earnestly, also your Creator, that you are not your own, but is what? Property. Now, say now. In the days of your youth, before the evil days come, or the years draw now, when you will say of physical pleasures, I have no more enjoyment in them. So what does God say? God is saying, look, this time that you seem to be enjoying things is the time you remember the Lord. Not when you are old. Who wants to marry an old woman? It's not coming for an old church. Youth, young children. So God is saying to us that, look, he's coming back. And as he's coming back to do some things we are going to speak about today. But there was a cry made by a certain set of people in the church. And they cried, they said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. So it's not only good enough to wake up, but the next step is go out to what? To meet him. Praise the Lord. Let's put our scripture behind this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I just put it there when I was thinking. It sounds funny. He didn't say that he was coming. You know, he didn't say that he that had the many branches is the bridegroom. When he was talking, he said, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. He didn't say that he that has many branches or so number of members of the congregation is his bridegroom. He's the one that has the bride. He's the one that died for the bride. That shed his blood for the bride. What does he say? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Help me, Lord. Say, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. So we see where we are fasting today. Because the bridegroom has been taken away. Understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to teach prophetically. Literally, we are expecting him to come in us. So it's not with us now. So it's not the time to begin to jump about the whole place. He told them, he said, can they be at that time? He said, but this is time for them to fast and to also to do what? To mourn. To put some scriptures behind this. He says that, I've been taught, he says that it's going to come in us in three stages. Let's say it together. In us, in perfection, and fullness, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. You see, we need to know these aspects. Let's say it's coming in us, then it's going to come for us at the rapture, then it will come with us. You see, we need it at the millennial reign. We need to understand these things to be clear in our hearts. Because if it is not clear, you'll be waiting for him to come for us. Whereas he is going to first of all come in us before he comes for us at the rapture. They will not. You see, if he doesn't come in you, very unlikely he's not going to come for you. Because it's those that he comes in that have shown that they are you recognize. I found that his own. Can you imagine if you are going to get married, there is the dress that your wife to be wear. So if she's not dressed properly, that means she's not ready. Right or wrong. So there's a company of people that will be ready. So it's going to come in them, and then it's going to come for them, and then it's going to come with them. Praise the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. What does it say? When it shall come to be glorified in the saints. When it shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You can see the procedure. He shall come. It's a process that is taking place in us today. And also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. It says that, you know, that God has called us to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. So he's coming in us first before he now comes for us at the rapture. Before he now comes with us for the millennium. Praise the Lord. So like I said, those are the three stages. But who, like I mentioned, who are those that are crying? They are the watchmen. They are the ones, the company of people that did not go to sleep. While all the others, the 10 virgins, went to sleep. The 10 virgins speaks about the entire body of Christ. Some were wise, some were foolish. All of them, wise and foolish virgins, they slept. It's only the watchmen that did not sleep. They are the ones that cried out at midnight. And that cry has been going forth now for quite a number of times. The prophetic and apostolic ministry says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. You know, they've been crying and telling the body of Christ, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. And the rest of them are saying, where is the promise of his coming? Praise the Lord. Now, like I put it here, while I was studying this morning, God showed me a similarity in what happened to Esther when he was in the palace. You see, Mordecai is a type also of the watchman. Like Pastor Lee was preaching in the morning. You see, when Esther got to the palace, she got complacent. She had started off well, using the things of her purification. And she gained access to the king. The palace there speaks about the body of Christ. After she got there, she got the message and everything. What happened? She got complacent. And Mordecai sent a message to her, said, know you not that you have come into the kingdom for what? For such a time as this. What are we saying? Many of us in the body of Christ today are fast asleep. Even though we are wise virgins. While we are in the palace, you know, we've used the things of our purification. We're in the palace, we're enjoying the comfort of the palace, you know, the prosperity, everything is fine. And most of us, not all, because we've been taught properly here, you know, have forgotten what our purpose is. And it reminds me of a scripture, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. Just put it there. You were talking about the Shunammite woman. He said that he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. See, the essence of the banquet in the house of the king is to perfect the love of God. That is why they have put that banner before her. But when they have partaken of that banquet, they've taken that wine. Instead of getting or perfecting the love of God, they've left that and put it behind them. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. So that was the cry they were making to the virgins that were asleep. See, he is coming. And go ye out to meet them. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. Esther 4, 1. What does it say? To please conscript. It says that when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai did what? Rent his clothes. How come Mordecai perceived and Esther did not perceive? That was the watchman. And put on what? Sackcloth with ashes. And went out into the midst of the city. The city speaks of the church. And cried. They cried. With a loud voice. And with a bitter cry. The moment the watchmen saw. This, I will mention three things they saw. Of which Esther was not aware. At that time. The moment they saw the bridegroom was coming. They began to cry. The Bible says something, proves this again. Your master was saying, said, what went he out to see? a reed shaken by the wind? He said, those that live in king's palaces are those that wear soft raiment. Mordecai was not at the king's palace. He was at the gate. At this time, Esther had put on a soft raiment. Speaking about complacency, ease in Zion. Are you following me? So, when they made that cry, what was the cry? Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. I'm skipping verse because of time. Think not with thyself that thou shalt what? Escape. Say escape. She has stopped watching and praying. Bible says, watch and pray always that you may escape. A decree had gone forth through Haman to destroy the Jews. And she didn't know. She was in the palace. She was already wearing soft raiment. She had taken it easy. That is what happens when you put aside purpose. And you now begin to rejoice in, how do I put the Holy Spirit? I don't, help me. You see, when you don't take heed or you don't know your purpose, and then you begin to call something else your purpose, like prosperity. Are you following me? So what did he say? He said, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. So at that time, Esther had stopped watching and praying. She had worn raiment, soft raiment. And she did not know that she was doomed to die. A decree has come. Well, what are we saying? You see, because if I don't put scriptures behind it, people may get afraid. We're not talking about physical death. This is what is going to happen to you and I if you don't press into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. There's no physical amen, so to speak, trying to kill anybody. That represents the devil and his nature. Are you following me? So it was a cry of Mordecai, like I put here, to Esther that will activate prayer like never before, causing the Holy Spirit to lay hold on those that are at ease in Zion and drive them to their knees in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. You see, it was when Mordecai began to cry because of what he saw. It was that cry that made Esther say, if I perish, I perish. What does it say? It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall what? Die. It is not a curse. It's New Testament. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we see the state in which Esther was in at this time. When Mordecai sent a message, I said, don't think that you are going to escape the way you are living in the flesh. You had better get on your knees and begin to pray and seek the face of the king. So that was the cry in summary. And what are the things that they saw? Number one, they see the Lord's return to Zion. The first thing they saw, why they began to cry, they first of all saw the spiritual state of the church, typified by Esther when she was in the palace. So they began to cry. They began to cry. The second thing they saw the Lord's return to Zion in glory. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 8. And 9, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified Bible. Are we there? What does it say? Hark your watchmen. Let's together. Hark your watchmen. Lift up their voices together. They shall what? Sing. Say sing for joy. For they shall see what? Eye to eye, the return of the Lord to Zion. This is what they saw. These watchmen saw three things. The first thing, they saw the spiritual state of the church, typified by Esther when she was enjoying in the palace. Next verse, verse 9. Break forth joyously, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For what? The Lord has comforted his people, he has also redeemed Jerusalem. So, apart from seeing the state of Esther at that time, they began to cry. They also saw that the Lord was coming and that Esther was not ready. That's why he said, go ye out to meet him. And the last thing they saw, what they now saw, what the Lord himself was coming for. Many today think that the Lord is just going to come, like we say in rapture, and take everybody away. No. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23-27 says what is coming for. It's coming for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So when Mordecai saw this situation, he began to cry. Now he's not crying physically. Crying there speaks about intercession and bringing forth a prophetic voice which is sent to Esther to wake up. That is, we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. So he began to cry. Ephesians 5:27, what does it say? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy without blemish. This is enough to make any man of God cry. He said this is what is coming for. And we cannot see it on earth at this time. And we are praying that it should come. That means if it comes, then it's not going to get anybody. It's not going to take anybody. Why? Because the body of Christ is not ready. That's why the body cries of our time are beginning to cry. They've been crying and shouting to Esther. Esther, wake up. You have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise the Lord. So began to cry. And what were they saying when we were crying? Like I said, they say, go ye out to meet him. As Esther, you're not going to solve this problem by being complacent in the palace. You have to arise and to go and meet the king. Esther chapter 4 verse 8, using Esther as a type. Something happened to Esther. Initially, she started well. After some time, when comfort came, everything was okay. You know, the princes were walking. You know, all of a sudden, she just left the most important aspect of why she was brought into the kingdom. But thank God for Mordecai as they began to shout and to cry. But no. Wake up, Esther. You have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther chapter 4, verse 8. They gave Esther a charge. See, and also, he gave him the copy of a writing of a decree that was given at the Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to what? Declare it unto her, and to others. To what? Charge her. Say, charge her. That she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make Ushua before him for our people. Same thing we are talking about. Say, go out to meet the king. Why are you afraid? You've been in the body for such a long time. You've heard that the king is coming and are still sitting there after you've woken up. So he said, go and meet the king. Praise the Lord. We see this type repeated all over in the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Each time the Lord was coming to see his people, he would always go out to meet him. You know why? We are talking about the first fruits come. It is those that go out to meet him that will bring him in. Very important. You see, in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 17, it was Moses that brought forth the people to meet God on the mount. You see, there was a story, if you read, I don't have time to turn the Old Testament, when the people began to sin and to misbehave. Moses carried the tabernacle and took it outside the camp. So in our system, said, whoever wants to seek the Lord, you have to go and seek him without the camp, bearing his what? Reproach. Right now, we cannot see the presence of God in the church. So for us to see that glory, for us to manifest that glory, we have to go the extra mile. Awake like Esther and go out to meet the king. We're going to see types and shadows today. Or what it means to go out to see the king. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Let's put the scripture behind this. It's how the Apostle Paul put it. Let us go forth therefore unto him without what? The camp. Bearing his reproach. There is a reproach when we are seeking the king to come back. It was the Apostle Peter that said something. He said that if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. When you begin to follow to perfecting the love of God in your life, you know, there is a reproach that comes upon you. And God is saying, look, go out without the camp to meet him. Bearing his what? His reproach. That was what Moses did. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 26. He said, he was not afraid of a king. He was not afraid of the present religious system. He said, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It was in the palace. So he left the comfort zone, left everything, and went out to go and meet him. Praise the Lord. So what I put it there in summary, say, we have to leave the present day religious system to go out and meet him without the camp, bearing his word, reproach. There's a reproach that comes when we begin to seek to perfect the love of God. There is a reproach that comes when we begin to operate those principles. Because all the things that everybody is going after, initially they are withdrawn. That is where the reproach comes. And people begin to say, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing all this? Why are you wasting your time? Look at that guy over there. He started the church a few years ago, and it's growing. How come you are not growing? Because they measure growth by numbers. They don't measure growth the way God measures growth. The Bible says we are supposed to go unto the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Nothing wrong with numbers. But see, usually when you begin to grow, the crowd will thin out. Because people don't want to grow. Praise the Lord. So why are we shouting today and screaming? Because we heard this message over and over again. I put it, I say, it's coming in those that mourn in Zion. We have established that we have to go out to meet him. That's what that verse says in the book of Matthew 25. It says, go out and meet him. So why is it coming? He said this. I said, he's coming in those that mourn in Zion. And look at the example of Mary. There was a time of mourning in life of Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. They too were mourning. And the first thing that came was that there were two types of people there, like we see in the body of Christ today. Martha. They were talking about the resurrection. The master was saying, look, I'm not talking about the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. So Martha went out, saw the master, but could not bring him in. It wasn't until Mary, a type of imperfect church, stood up and went out to meet him. Let's read in the book of John chapter 11, verse 31. You see, this is a time of mourning in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about crying because somebody died. We'll see what they are mourning for. You see, in this situation, we are mourning for Lazarus that died. So what does it say? And the Jews, them which were with her, talking about Mary in the house, and comforted her, when they saw what? Mary, that she what? Rose up. Say, rose up. Hastily. And what? Went out. Followed her, saying she went unto the grave to weep there. If you read somewhere in those verses, I can't remember. It says that the master was still where Martha met him. You see, he's coming back to the church. But he's still staying outside, waiting for those who step out in faith. The first of the first company to bring him in. That is where he said, know you not that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So Mary went out to meet him. And that is coming for those that are mourning in Zion. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To appoint unto them that mourn were in Zion. To give unto them what? Beautiful ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called what? Trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. Is coming to those that are mourning in Zion. What does it mean to mourn in Zion? We're not talking about somebody dying here. You mourn when you fast, when you seek God. I put three things there to show why they were mourning. Mourning for three things. Number one, the spiritual state of a church given to idolatry. It is enough to make you and I mourn. When the church leaders begin to put a price tag to everything, we need to begin to mourn. When you find men of God put a price tag to everything, to healing, to deliverance. But you need to begin to mourn. I don't want to say more than that. How much, let me put it this way, how much the thief on the cross pay to go to heaven? We need to begin to mourn. There's a problem. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. It calls for mourning. What does it say? Acts. Now, while Paul what? Waited. We are waiting. For them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him when he saw what the whole city, only what? Given to idolatry. That is the present state of the church today. The whole city is given to idolatry, covetousness. They will do anything to make money. It calls for mourning. Isaiah 28 verse 7. Isaiah 28 verse 7. Help me, Lord. But they also, talking about leaders, have what? Heard through what? Wine and through strong drink. And are out of the way. The priest and the what? The prophet have heard through what? Strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way. That's the way of love. Through strong drink. They are in vision. And they stumble in judgments. That is why they are mourning. The whole church is given to idolatry. The second thing why we are mourning is because of what? The reproach of the heathen. The world is laughing at the church today, making fun of the body of Christ everywhere. Joel chapter 2 verse 17. They look at us. We say, where is your God? Have you ever thought about this? We claim that we are head and not tail. We are above and not beneath. You just brag, just preach the message. And then you go to a bank manager to borrow you money. I thought you said you are head and not tail. We need to begin tomorrow. So that those scriptures can be fulfilled in our lives. But they would not want jot or tittle of the Lord shall pass without him being fulfilled. Deuteronomy 20, chapter 28 verses 1 to 14 must be fulfilled. It must be. Joel 2:17. What does it say? Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, what? Weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach. Let's read together. That the heathen should rule over them, wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? The heathen are ruling us today. And say we should not mourn. So you know why all that is happening in this nation is happening today? Because the heathen is in power. When you begin to mourn. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 18. 3:18. We are mourning, I say it again, to put it there, because the spiritual state of a church given to idolatry. So the heathen is making fun of the body of Christ. But where is your God? Where is your God? We don't go through all this wahala now, but we are succeeding more than you. So if you go to somebody and say, get born again, or they say, why do I need to get born again? Why do I need to get born again? Like Pastor Colin was preaching so beautifully this morning. Our character does not make a sound. So why do I need to get born again? Maybe this your so-called man of God collecting an offering for so and so and so. So I don't need to do that to collect, to get my money. I'm working for my money. Or they will say, isn't so and so and so? He's not the person that has so and so. Married somewhere, has his wife here, another wife here. I don't need to join you. Why do I need to be born again? Is that we have presented a wrong image of a Christ? So we need to mourn. Zephaniah 3:18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. It should be a burden to us when our life does not speak wherever we are. That Pastor Colin was preaching so beautiful. I was saying the other day, I couldn't mention. I was telling someone, I said, I am amazed when you see people of this so-called religion. If you call them to anywhere to speak, the first thing says, Allahu Akbar, they're not afraid. We see Christians to mention Jesus is so big for them, they can't open their mouth. I'm telling you, if you see an average Christian, he cannot say, I'm born again. You see, these guys, they don't care. Wherever they are, when it's time to pray, they will go and pray. I was telling somebody, I said, excuse me, don't be. You see them dress the way they dress. They don't care. They even force it on us. As you are begging Christians every day to dress properly, want to dress like the world. And I'm wondering, they are doing the wrong thing. But we, instead of standing for truth, we are trying to identify with the world in our mode of dress. I was saying, the air you caught and everything, and we wonder, guy, it is not that one that makes you righteous. We know! But there is an attack of an adult. We know! Be ye not conformed to the world, but ye transformed. But those that don't have the truth, those that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are bold about what they do. Call them anywhere. They wear their hijab. They don't care. Every time to walk, they are fighting for it. We are begging us to dress properly. Men open their chest everywhere. Christian, born again. guy carry gold cable, so to speak, on there. How about they call it? Those big, big chains they wear. That's the in thing. It's so bad now. We now leave our beer. We know that we want to become an afar. Yes. I must say it's wrong to go a beard, for God's sake. What I'm trying to say is this. Let's represent Christ well. Amen. Don't be conformed with this world. They are bold in negative. You'll be bold in the right way. Be bold about it. I give an example just before I move on. I went with Pastor about a few weeks ago. And we were at the dining table. We wanted to eat. So I said, sit down. I felt so uncomfortable. So Pastor was there. Mommy was there. There were some guests there. The next thing that happened was like, everybody was seated. Pastor said, and mom, they also held hands. Everybody, let's pray. Yeah? You know, if it was me, I would have prayed quietly. They didn't even look at their faces as if they just said, let us pray. And they just prayed in understanding. They prayed in tongues and they continued with the conversation. Without missing a beat. If it was me, I would use wisdom. I don't know whether they are born again. So let me just pray quietly. Or I'll pray general prayer. Father, we thank you for this food. I won't be able to mention in Jesus' name. They just prayed as if nothing was going on. Just let us pray. Just held hands. They just prayed. And they prayed in tongues. They didn't ask whether they wanted to pray in tongues or not. They just prayed in tongues. After they prayed in tongues, they said amen. Me too, I said amen. And they started eating and continued with conversation. Amen. That is the kind of boldness I'm talking about. Amen. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of me in the world, how do you be ashamed of you? You see, it should become a natural thing in our lives. To stand for God. That's why thank you, sir, for that lady, Leah. Yeah. If they should kidnap any man of God's son today, they will pay the ransom. Yeah. They will go and sell everything they have. What about those that don't have money? What are you going to do? Does God love them more than you? I'm not sure whether that girl speaks in tongues. Though. What she said is that if I perish, I perish. That is how you know whether you're an Esther or not. No matter you speak in tongues. When the robber hits the road, what do? You speak in tongues and say, okay, you two are a Muslim, you convert, and you come out and say, hey, God has forgiven me. No! No! Compromise. They're ashamed of him. That is where we are going to. So you know where the 300 foxes are. That is going to catch himself. You are not a fox before you are in Christian Pastor Christian. Excuse me. We are in Jesus' name. What I'm trying to say is this. Brethren, take these things serious. Be ready to die for them. Don't just put them aside as if it doesn't matter. The tough thing they are mourning for is that they are mourning because there is a delay in bringing forth the Christ child. You see, we've been praying, believing God for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it has not come. Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. So they begin to pray, God. Have you seen an old person, somebody that's getting old, that's not giving birth before? The way she's going to pray is going to be different from somebody that's just married, maybe just 18, 17. When she starts looking, God. Why do you think what's this guy's name? Zachariah. Why do you think he didn't miss his course? He knew that the time had gone. So we'll go there every day until by the mercy of God an angel appeared at the right side of the altar. So they are mourning. Why do you think Samuel's mom was mourning before Eli? Anna. Why? Because at that time we should be mourning the God. What is going on? Where is the promise of his coming? Not in the negative sense. Positive sense. God, you have said in your word that you will see the travail of your soul and be satisfied. Then you tell him, God, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Nothing else will satisfy you if you don't awake in his likeness. Praise the Lord. So the second point I put here is that it is those that meet him without the camp, bearing his reproach, that will bring him in. I mentioned earlier, you know, manifesting his glory. The first fruits company. We are talking about the first fruits company here today. It's when they say, wait, well, they say, go ye out to meet him. We see the example of Mary. She packed her things. She went out to meet the master. I don't want to go into the story. When she saw the master, she fell on her face, worship. I said, if you had been here, the same thing they said, but different attitudes. Say, my friend, and the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. What did not do for Martha? Because why? Mary understood the purpose. Martha did not. Martha was expecting him to come at the rapture. He said, he groaned in the spirit. And he followed him, said, where have you laid him? He said, didn't you? I told you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. They asked to arise the company of Mary today, who will go without the camp, bearing his reproach, and will take that power of the age to come and bring it down. By the time he comes to the temple, it's late. But the woman may stand when he appears. By the time he comes to the temple, it's too late. Judgment will have begun. Say, Lord, whom you seek, shall what? Suddenly. By the time he comes in, it's too late. You need to go out and meet him. Amen. We're going to see how we're going to go out and meet him. What am I saying? Don't be afraid. What I say is, we need to. Bible says that Mary rose up hastily. Say what? Hastily. Put it in Matthew, John chapter 11. Mary rose up and what? Went out hastily. Very early. Yeah, we're going to get there. To go and meet him. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about the first group company here from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that will partake of glory and bring him in. And bring him in. There's no point waking up and staying in the house. Go out and bring him in. There's always a first group that will see him. If pastor is going to come in today, he's going to come in through that door, right or wrong. And they're going to enter through this door, right or wrong. When he comes out, he's going to come in, right or wrong. Three faces. So, you see, by the time you, if they ask you, when is pastor going to come? He's going to come down from the pulpit, and then he's going to go. You have missed it. Some will see him enter from here. Some that come late. You already come late. They won't see him. They'll see him come out from this place. And then the thoughts of the people who I always say, that come mid-service, they only go to see him by the time the service is finishing and everything is done. They say, that's the pastor. Why? He's going out that way. Too late. Too late. That is why he's staring outside, waiting for those that will go out to us to meet him. When you meet pastor, then what do? You carry his bag and you follow him upstairs. Those are those that partake of the glory. By the time he's coming here, it's another story. So if you see him coming out of his door and say, he has just come. No! He has come to that place. He's coming out and he's going to come here out. We are talking about those, the first fruit company. That's why he said, go out, go out, go out, go out. Don't wait for pastor on the pulpit. I'm using the time to explain. Go out, go out. He's coming. Go out, go out, go out. Praise the Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. So, we are going out. Then we thank God. We thank the Lord. Then when he comes, like I said, by the time you see him come down from this pulpit like this, the message is done. So what am I saying? By the time you see him coming down like this, he's coming what? In vengeance. Isaiah 61 verse 2. By the time you see pastor walk down, his greeting, everything has finished. 61 verse 2. What does it say? Say, Lord, have mercy. Okay, this is okay. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort what? All that mourn in what? Zion. Is coming to beautify the milk with salvation. So when it comes, you see, we know that story. I don't need to go there. Jesus Christ, Lord, never announced the second aspect of vengeance. But when it comes the second time, it's the day of vengeance. You don't need to be afraid of vengeance when you hear vengeance. Let me give you a very. I was asking God. I said, "Come on, sometimes I said, this vengeance thing. How? Please make your love. How do you combine vengeance with love?" And He gave me a very simple illustration. How? Let me make it simple. If put this way, he said there can be no comfort without vengeance. You understand what I'm saying now? You know, He didn't talk about before comfort comes vengeance. Can you see? If, for example, you have a boy, I use the boy. I don't want to use a very bad disease that's aching you. It makes you feel uncomfortable, right or wrong. Pain. So until you go to people, maybe a doctor, until they remove that, what is it called, the boil, or it's a leg that has gangrene, before you can have comfort, right or wrong. So there can be no comfort in the body of Christ unless there is vengeance. There has to be a removal of that boil or whatever, or cancerous part of the body. As I said, the day of vengeance of our God. After vengeance, they can be comfortable. They've removed the part that is causing the pain and the ache. Are you following me? They can have, the doctor will say, Pastor Dosumu is there. After they remove that bad tooth that is aching you, not making you feel comfortable, then you don't feel comfortable. You say, are you feeling comfortable now? Yes, ma. I feel much better. You took vengeance on that tooth, or that tooth. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. So when you think about, if you want, how many want to be comforted in Zion? Then raise up your other hand for vengeance. Yes, so. Or there can be no comfort without vengeance. Are you following me? So it's very important to have that. So when it comes, it's coming for vengeance. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to verses 1 to 6. Now, when these things were done, Ezekiel not as is coming for vengeance, so you better be ready. Ezekiel 9:1. He cried also in my ears with what? A loud voice. That's the call of the watchers. Saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Even every man with his what? Destroying weapon in his hand. Next verse. And behold, six men came from the way of the highest higher gate, which led toward the north, Zion. And every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. Are you following me? And one man among them was clothed what? With linen, with a writer's ink on by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen laver altar. And the glory, we're talking about the glory of God of Israel, was gone up from his cherub, whereupon he was to the what? Threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with what? Linen, which are the writer's ink on by his side. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. We know the city is church, right? Through the midst of Jerusalem. And set what? A mark. Say a mark. Upon the foreheads of men that what? Sigh and that cry for all the what? The abomination that are done in the midst thereof. Verse 5. And to the others he said in my ears, go ye after them through the city. And what? Smite. Let not your eye spare. Neither have ye pity. Next verse. Slay what? Utterly, old and young, strange children, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary leadership. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Vengeance. You want to be comforted, but there must be vengeance. No vengeance, no comfort. The most important thing for us here, because we've been taught very well, is to get the mark. Start mourning so you can get the mark. Amen. Mourn. Begin to mourn. So he can mark you, which is talking about perfect love of God. Praise the Lord. So, how are we going to attend unto this? We use different types and shadows of what God is going to do. Mordecai has been crying to Esther about the spiritual state, to wake up, go out, go and meet him. You know, all these types and shadows. How are we going to get it done? It is by taking heed to the cry, the instruction of the watchman. It's very simple. Just obey the instructions of the watchman. Well, Mordecai that gave instructions to Esther and said, Esther, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, so begin to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Why? Because a decree has been written. Praise the Lord. So I said, by taking heed to the cry, the instruction of watchmen, we do what? We rise up hastily. Say, rise up hastily. Like Mary. Praying more frequently and fervently to meet him. John 11:30. I already can put it on the board. So we rise up hastily. This is not a time to be complacent and take things easy. This is not a time to do your love prayer alone. If you've been born again for over 6 months and say, okay, I've done this, you say, I'm okay. You are not okay. Go the extra mile. Begin to travel in prayer. Pray more frequently, pray more earnestly. It says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. He's still staying there today, waiting for those that will go out to meet him. So, I said they cried. What is this cry talking about? Isaiah 54 verses 1 and 2 in Amplified. They cried. We want to obey the instructions of the watchman. Amplified. It says Isaiah 50. That's 52. So I think it's 52. Sorry. 52. Where it says that, you know, awake, put on your strength, put on your beautiful garments. 52. 52, not 54, please. Amplified. Awake. Awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your what? Beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For what? From henceforth there shall no more come unto you the what? Uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse 2. Say, shake yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Arise. Sit erect in the dignified place, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So we see the watchmen trying to interpret their cry. Because when they woke the virgin soul, we said, wake up, wake up. Go out to meet him. And Bible says Mary rose up hastily and right ran out to meet him. And then brought him back, green types and shadows. So what are they saying? He said, awake, awake, put it in verse 1. He said, put on your strength, put on your beautiful garments. I want to summarize how to awake, which is the most important part. We've been doing it already. God just wants us to take the more earnest heed. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Said, Lord, can wake up a great while before dawn and do what? Go out to a solid place to pray. He will leave where he was and go out to go and meet the Father. This right now, you see, we're not going to the express way to go and meet him. Are you following me? He's talking about your daily walk with God. You wake up in the morning, Mark 1:35. Then you go to a solid place to go and pray, which was what he did in the days of his flesh. He will wake up and he will leave where he was. Then go and meet with the Father. But the Bible says that, it said, it should be, when they put the mercy seat, it says that you come. It says, I will meet with you upon the mercy seat. So, we are awake to meet him. Hebrews 5:7. Then the next thing which says, put on your strength. Put on your strength. What does that mean? Like it says in the book of Matthew 25, verses 4, it says, is that having oil in your body. You see, you are going to put the oil in your body for a reason I will show you now. After that, now said, put on your beautiful garments. If you don't put on strength, you can't put on your beautiful garments. You don't understand. It takes strength to perfect the love of God. You first of all awake in the morning, you wake up. Yeah. And then he says, put on your strength. That strength is life of God. You draw life. And begin to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. The next thing is that put on your beautiful garment. If you don't put on your strength in the morning, you can't put on your beautiful garments that day. Because it takes strength to put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on your beautiful garments. That's why I think I put it somewhere, you know, that Pastor Marley quotes in Job 40:16. He said, the strength is in his loins. You have to, folks, if you don't travel properly, you can't put on your garments that day, spiritually speaking. You will not be able to. So when you awake spiritually, you begin to watch and pray. Then you put on your strength like Behemoth. Yes. I would say, see now, his strength is in his loins. His power is in the sinews of his belly. Then the next thing, now with that strength, you put on your beautiful garment. Fill my will, mind, and emotions with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. Then you go out to meet him. Or else you'll be appearing before him without a wedding garment. That was why Martha could not bring him in. She didn't have a wedding garment. But when Mary heard, she arose hastily, put on her strength, went out to meet him where Martha left him. Then they brought him back. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14. And above all this, put on what? Love. And what? Enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. But what I want us to say is this: we know we have to put on love, but we cannot put on love without first of all putting on strength through traveling prayer. I want to see Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation 16, 15, as we begin to round up. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You see, bring it down to a daily, day-to-day walk with God. That's what I'm trying to do. Pastor just posted something today in about fourth watch praying. You see, if you don't awake spiritually, physically, you wake up. Mark 1:35. And then you draw life and you begin to pray with others as prayer. Put on strength every day. You cannot put on the beautiful garments. And that day you're going to walk in shame, naked. Because when you go out, things will happen to you that will trip you. Will not trip us in Jesus' name. You get angry over little things. Why? Because you didn't put on strength before. You are trying to put on your garment without the strength. It's not going to work. So functionally, it means that those that are praying with strong crying and tears by the Spirit to pump the life of God into your mortal body in order to modify the deeds of the body, thus perfecting the love of God. That's what we're talking about. Don't get carried away about going anywhere. Make it very simple, Pastor. What we're saying is this. Every morning, the bridegroom is coming. He's already outside, waiting for those that will put on their strength and go out to meet him. That's what we're talking about. Because if you do not awake, put on your strength, and then put on your beautiful garments. Can you imagine somebody that wakes up in the morning and does not put on his garments and runs outside? He'll say he's gone mad. People are walking around, Christians are walking around naked today. Exposed. No garments. No beautiful garments. Your garment speaks about righteousness. But what makes it beautiful is the love of God. Put on love, the bond of perfection. So what are we saying this morning, as this afternoon, as we round up? God is once again calling us. He has sent and is still sending the Mordecais. We're just echoing what the Mordecais have said over the years. If you are an Esther and you seem to have forgotten purpose or put purpose behind you, like we said about the Songs of Solomon, he said, he brought me into his banqueting house. We receive so much revelation right there. But the banner, the reason for the banquet is the banner over you. That is the poplar set before you. It's love. So you can't take the banquet and drink and drink and drink, and then you don't fulfill the banner that is set over you. That is the purpose. So they told Esther, you have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Perfect the love of God. So when you know how do you perfect the love of God, it's very simple. You see, first it's coming to them that are mourning. Esther saw her state. She recognized. Then she called her maidens and began to fast. She saw her state, her wretchedness. She began to pray more earnestly and fervently. Then on the third day, she put on her garments and she went before the king. So a child has gone out today. Go ye out to meet him. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask him for mercy. Let's ask him for grace. The Bible says, in that day that is going to turn the hearts, said before the Lord comes, it's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the wisdom of the just. Like I said, by the time he comes in, it's too late. Say, who may abide when he appeareth? Who shall stand? He's going to sit. When he enters, he's going to sit like a refiner's fire. And he's going to purify the sons of God. But there is a company of people that are going out to meet him, that are going to taste of the power of the ages to come, and are going to bring him in, manifesting his glory. Let's talk to the Lord. Psalm 45, verse 8. Let's ask God to help us to shake ourselves from the dust, carnality. To lose ourselves on the bands of our neck. His coming is so imminent. It's so close. Don't lose hope. because he tarried and he was late, Mary and Martha had lost hope. Say, if he had been here at the so-called appointed time, he would not have died. But the appointed time is when he arrived. That is the appointed time. They thought he was late, but Master was never late. So Mary went out to go and meet him. He must go and meet him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The time has come. There is a company of people I believe in my heart so much that are pressing toward the mark. They have left the present religious day system. I've taken these principles and are exerting themselves daily, praying, putting on their garments. Let's stand to our feet.
Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb upon the white horse.
He returns. He returns.
In
Father, we confess our sins to clean with the blood, especially the sins of complacency, listlessness, and ease in Zion. We repent of them. Under covering, we receive mercy and grace afresh, and we determine to take heed to the cry of the watchmen by obeying their instructions to daily wake up a great while before dawn, to pray earnestly and fervently with strength, with all kinds of prayer, to perfect the love of God in our lives as we go out to meet the bridegroom, so that we may be part or the first fruits company that manifests His glory. Thank you so much for your first mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and help. In Jesus, let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, there's a scripture that God dropped in my heart. Psalm 149, I believe it is. To summarize everything, just came to me. Psalm 149. Please put it on a board. I just want to read it. Let's try and wake up before we go. It's an order. I think it's in verse 4, where it says, "You beautify the milk with salvation." Yes. Yeah. Let's read it out. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people, and He will do what? Beautify the meek with salvation." Next verse, please. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." Next verse. "Let the what? High praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." Next verse. "To do what? Execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people." Next verse. "To bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron." Next verse. "To execute upon them the judgment which is written." This honor have all His saints without exception. Praise the Lord. It is those that He beautifies with salvation that will execute the judgment that is written. Praise the Lord.
And prosper in Jesus' name. Shall we join hands, please? Under the covering of fathers, we come in order. Under the covering of our fathers, with the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, say, "The Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make His face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes His head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. We prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And He shows us His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, impart upon us the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbors, you arise early and you go forth to meet God outside the camp. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.